We started last week with Pastor Jeffrey did a stellar job starting Jesus, our hope. Jesus, our hope. And who remembers what was taught last week? Yeah, Jesus, our hope. The only thing I remember was that in Indonesia, there are skinny Santa Clauses. And then in America, there are fat Santa Clauses. That is the only thing I remember. That there are skinny Indonesians and there are fat Americans. This is me. If you can guess how many years ago, you get a special Christmas hug from me. This is like high school, Josh. I won't tell you how many years ago that was, but it was a while ago. And it was a Halloween, and I thought, what's a great costume to dress up in Halloween? I'm going to come as Santa. Because who's going to do that? Who's going to come as Santa for a Halloween? I did. And I won most unique costume because, I mean, it was pretty unique. It was pretty out there. I'm not going to lie. But that's not all I remember. Hope that's not all you remember either. What else do we talk about? We went over what? The messianic line. Who remembers going through Jesus' genealogy of who are his predecessors? Yes? Am I ringing a bell? Yes? To quote this from Pastor Jeffrey, we read the messianic line, right? And we learned about how his line isn't the most perfect people, I would say, that ended up being his predecessors, right? You had corrupt kings. You had people who were fairly, yeah, I don't want to use prostitute, but it was a prostitute for lack of a better word. It wasn't the cleanest line. It wasn't perfect. It's not as you imagine. But what it is, if I may quote, he says, the great plan of salvation is still revealed, followed through and accomplished despite the depravity of human beings. God's grand purpose is accomplished despite man's unrighteousness, despite man's unfaithfulness, and because of this, hope really arises within me. That was great. I got to quote him on more things. But as I meditated on what was spoken last week, and we're going to get rid of this picture now because it's too much of me. We also talked about, right, he gave us this picture of hope. And he talked about, well, what if our situation is hopeless? What do we expect? We looked into understanding that our hope lies in the Lord, not in our feelings or situations, that we should filter who we listen to, and that we want to obey in his direction and leading. As I look into this, I can't but help but feel that we are hopeful. Now, before we continue into what we're going to focus on this week, I have to ask, since this is Christmas and it is the month of December, who has not finished all their Christmas shopping? Who has not finished? Wow. Oh, wow. Lots of people have not finished. Good luck. I'm sorry to hear that. That's bad because Amazon's delayed shipping, malls are crowded, all the good stuff is gone, and I work where my office is next to the mall. I notice like it's just packed there all the time now. The parking lots are full. Even during like the work day, the parking lots are full. The road to get out, there's more cars. I do not like holiday shopping, and we're a week out, guys. You know, we're a week out. So there's not much time left, right? Now, my next question is, who has someone in their life that they have to shop for that is the hardest person to shop for because you never know what to get for them? That they're hard to shop for because they're the type of people that have everything, and as you're trying to think, what do they need? They already have it. Ooh, preach it. Preach it. So like you're thinking like do you want a gift card? Do you want a new dress? Do you want some skincare products? See, I'm trying to get a gauge. I'm trying to get a gauge on, this is my underlying thing. I was trying to figure a gift for my wife. I'm just kidding. I think she's fairly easy to shop for. That, it's not too difficult. I went to Costco the other day, and I was just looking around like, I had to buy brown rice because we eat brown rice in our house because we don't believe in white rice. So we eat brown rice in our house and I was picking up brown rice, and I was walking through. I was like, oh, Dorothy would love this. And then so you'll never guess what I bought. That actually would have been good. I should have bought white rice. No, I did not buy. I bought her. So are you guys? Do you guys know what oat milk is? Yeah. We don't believe in cow milk. We don't believe in almond milk. We don't believe in soy milk. We don't believe in dairy-free milk. We don't believe in flour milk. But we believe in oat milk in our house. And my wife has been huge on oat milk. For some reason, she's probably tried every brand of oat milk in existence. And she has this one favorite brand. And then you never guess what I saw at Costco. They had a 6-pack of that oat milk. And so I bought it for her thinking this is a great Christmas gift. You know, like, you know, one of the small gifts, oat milk. And then I brought it home to her on that day. I'm like, this is an early Christmas gift. And she's like, what is it? And she saw it. Oh, her face just lit up. She's like, oat milk! And then, you know, so excited, like, I should have recorded it. It was, like, I'm like, wow, this is oat milk. And you're just like, the greatest thing ever. But like, you know, it's the thought that counts, right? Like, I saw the oat milk and I knew she would appreciate it and I got it for her. See? But now if you ask her, thank you. I'm still married, guys. We're still good. So if you ask her, though, I think she would say that I'm the hard one to shop for. Like, I don't know. I think I'm easy. Like, yeah, I think I'm easy. You know, you could just buy me like a Tesla or like a new Audi or, you know, you buy me popcorn chicken. I'm happy. I'm good. I'm good. I think I'm easy. But I'm sure we all can think of someone that's hard to find a gift for because you feel like they have everything they need or want and they get it themselves, or you're not too sure what their tastes are, right? Yeah. Now here's a question again. What is Christmas all about? 1, 2, 3, presents. Oh, you guys are supposed to say Jesus. Okay. That was a good test. So Christmas is about Jesus, right? And we're celebrating his birthday. Yeah, okay, you're following me so far. So, now, custom usually goes, right? When it's someone's birthday, you bring them a present, a gift, correct? Now, let's think about this. This is Christmas time. Now, how would you feel if it was your birthday and everyone in the world got a gift except you? Would you feel like, oh, that's okay. No one cares. No one remembers my birthday anyway. I'm just kidding. I'll remember your birthday. But how would you feel if everyone in the world got a gift except you? It's, you know, I don't think that's right. Now the question is, since it is Jesus' birthday, what kind of gift do you get a guy who is the Son of God? Who in my Bible says he owns everything. He owns the heavens, the earths, all around. He owns everything in it. What kind of gift do you get a guy like that? If you think I'm hard to shop for, what kind of gift do you get a guy like that? Think about that. Any thoughts? Now, before we answer that, I'm gonna pause here, and I'm gonna do a little backtrack and relate to how last week we focused on Jesus is our hope, right? Through all things that Jesus is the hope in the season. As I meditated on that, I thought, like, what does that mean to me? What can I take from that? And from reading and meditating and gleaming that Jesus is our hope, that Jesus in this season is the perfect gift for us. I forgot to click the slides, I'm sorry. Jesus is the perfect gift for us. Christ is the perfect gift. Now what can we give him, though? What can we give Christ? I'll tell you what. I believe that the one gift that Jesus wants from you, that only you can give, I believe that that is your worship. Say that with me. Worship. It is your worship. Your worship above all things is the one gift that only you can give, that only you. Coming to a baby to worship him. That you have kings from countries coming to worship a baby. A baby, can you think of that? Others believe that magi were more like astronomers, and they just saw the brightest star in the distance, and they followed the brightest star, and that's when they went to worship him. All right, cool. But for those who missed the past few minutes, we talked about Jesus and your worship and tradition and nativity scenes. Just so you're up to date for those of you next door. Hopefully that fills in the gaps. I forgot where the mic went out. But we're talking about tradition. And what we see is that there are normally three wise men. Every nativity scene I've seen has three wise men. You got two shepherds. If you even look, like, they actually didn't put Joseph in there. Those are like, that's a shepherd. And those are the wise dudes. But tradition tells us a lot of these things and we don't, really think about it. And then, How did the wise men get to where Jesus was? Star, but what were they riding? Camels, right? They're riding camels. Again, tradition tells us they're riding camels, but we aren't too sure of that either, that they could have walked, they could have ridden dinosaurs. We aren't sure. The one thing that I know for sure is that they went a very, very long way to meet this baby, to meet baby Jesus, to worship who they believed was the King of the Jews. They went a very, very long way to worship the King of the Jews. Of course, one of the first things we think of when we hear worship is singing. It's natural. We just did it, right? A lot of churches would sing from a little red book. Actually, there's a red book here. Do you guys like hymnal books? Are you guys familiar with hymnal books? It's like under the chair in front of you. And other churches, like, you know, our churches, charismatic churches, usually they raise their hands because they know the answer, or they sing aloud, right? You're either worshiping or you're raising your hand. Sometimes it's hard to tell a difference. But these are the ways that people worship, right? The Greek word of worship is, I'm going to try to pronounce it again, proskuneo, which means to bow down or kneel, to fall flat, to do reverence, to adore, to worship. You know, worshiping is more than just singing or raising your hands or reading from the book. If we look in the Greek word, it is to bow down or kneel, to fall flat, to do reverence, to adore. There is so much more. So these magi, these highly revered magi, these guys, they came a very long way to worship this baby king. And now can you imagine these high kings, these high ranking people, that they laid flat on the floor, they're face down in the ground, worshiping this small little baby, worshiping this baby that they just met. Now, for all of us here, I'm sure that you've had a busy year, busy month, a busy week. Chances are that we might not have made the time to really recenter and really worship Jesus. I know December, you know, we're planning family events, we're buying gifts, we're trying to meet up with friends. And this is all good. This is all good. I'm not saying that's bad, but are we really focusing on the real reason? Are we giving the best gift that we can give to Jesus? We're going to leave some extra time at the service and then throughout where we really can worship him. And I hope that by the end we really can worship him wholeheartedly today. You know, we'll start with song, but we'll let it translate into our lives, into our day-to-day. Amen? Amen. We're going to look at three main reasons why we want to worship Jesus this Christmas. The first one is we want to worship Jesus for who he is. For who he is. Matthew 1:21-23. It says, I'll read it here. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Who is he? He is a savior. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Wow. Wow. Something I learned that I took for granted initially is God with us, right? It seems normal to say God with us, right? That doesn't seem like it's weird or it's blasphemy, but if you imagine when Matthew wrote this back in the first century to say God with us, someone will be like, wait, hold up, what'd you just say? Come again? God with us? What? If in the first century they would know their Old Testament, and what that means was that's scandalous because they knew from Scripture that you couldn't even see God and live. They would probably tell you the story of Moses. Moses wanted to see the Lord, and God said, you just can't see me. You have to close your eyes, cover your face. Maybe you can catch a glimpse of me as I walk by. Another example is Isaiah chapter 6. He says, I just caught a glimpse, a vision of the Lord high and lifted up, and I am not worthy. I am a man of unclean lips. I am filthy. I'm dirty. I'm coming undone. They would know about the Holy of Holies. We preached about this a few months ago. The Holy of Holies, the place where God dwells in his tabernacle. It is the innermost temple. If you remember that there was a high priest who would go in once a year to worship God in that place. And as he walks in, right, he's got the rope on his leg just in case he was not clean. He was not worthy. He would die. Can you imagine walking into a job and you have to tie rope to your leg just in case you die and they drag you out because you have to die from your job? I am pretty sure they had a very low application rate because I don't think I want to sign up for that job. But they say, it says God with us. Can you imagine the audacity of what he says? Like, what is that? Now we go back to Matthew, and he says that Jesus will be God with us. Revolutionary, that God came to reveal himself through his Son, and we worship him for who he is. Let's see what else Scripture says about him. It says that he is the gate. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. He is the living bread. He is the living water who says, come to me and I will quench your thirst and you will not be thirsty again. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is simultaneously the Lion of Judah and the Lamb of God who was slain for the world so that you and I can be here today. Who is he? He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. I said we're going to take some time throughout service. We're going to, and at the end, to really kind of worship God today. I would love to ask if I could get my backup. Are you guys familiar with this song? This is an old hymnal. Oh, come, amen. You guys are familiar with that? We're really gonna just take our time here. There's three verses to this. We're gonna sing this and just focus on the Lord. Remember Proscuno? Proscuenio? I wanted to say Proscudo a second ago. Yeah, Proscuneo, right? To bow down or kneel, to fall flat, to do reverence, to adore, to worship. From Satan tyranny.
to thee, O Israel.
And we worship Jesus for who he is. And we worship Jesus for what he has done. I just love that song, right? The words, it's so simple. It's a fairly old hymn, but there is such power. We really can lift and give our worship unto Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:9 through 10 says, "He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." We worship Jesus for what he has done. Now, I hope you can think of something that Jesus has done in your life. Maybe for some of us, it's more like, well, you know what? Now that I think, what has Jesus done in my life? My life is my life because of what I've done, the effort I put into it. It wasn't because of what Jesus has done. Now, I would challenge you and say that if that's how you feel, that maybe it's because you don't really know him. If you know him, I promise you that he has done more than you can imagine in your life. That Jesus can do so much more in your life. I would go on a limb and say that what you feel like you know him is you know him here. You know him in here. You know him in your head. But you really don't know him here in your heart. It's a difference of 18 inches. You know him here. You know him in your head. But you don't really know Jesus in your heart. Maybe we just attend the Sunday services. We come on Easter. We come when it's convenient. Like, I go to church. I know him. I know who Jesus is. But do you really know him? If you can't say that Jesus has done unimaginable things in your life, do you really know him? When I look back at my life and I think of when did I really begin to connect the dots, right? I grew up in Sunday school. You know, you grow up in Sunday school and you learn about the nativity scene, you learn about Jonah, you learn about the word, you learn about the foundation of the word, but it's more of your head knowledge, I really want to believe. And then there comes a point when it really clicks, and then you truly know God, you know Jesus on a whole nother level. You move what's solely in your head, and it enters into your heart, into your being. And when that happens, when you truly know him, you can see the stuff that God is doing in your life. You become changed. You become a new person. Say that to your neighbor. You become a new person. You can say that one more time. I heard like my wife. That's about it. You can become a new person.
You can become a new person.
Yes. Because when you know him, he changes you. He changes you. He works in your life. Now, I think about how I acted before I knew God. The way I would view life, the way I would view things, the way I would act. Now, okay, I'm going to go on a limb. You probably can guess. I don't think I was like the world's baddest boy or anything. I mean, I grew up in a more or less Christian household. I went to Sunday school. I went to youth camp. I did all those things. Maybe some of you relate to me more like that. Like you, like, I went to church. I did the thing. I'm not robbing liquor stores and then like suddenly I'm not robbing liquor stores. I don't think that's my life story. You know, some people really have that life story. I do at times wish for that, but I do at times don't wish for that either. You know, like it makes a powerful testimony, but at the same time, the stuff you go through. But maybe some of you are like me and you grew up in church. You felt like you knew God, but then you really knew God. like you really began to know him. Or some of you are still on that journey where you think like, well, what has Jesus done for me lately? I used to look at church as just like, it's a social gathering. I'm just coming to meet my friends. I'm just coming to because my parents made me. I'm just coming because I was told I have to go to church every Sunday. But it's so much more than that. When you really begin to know God and you really begin to know him inside, you understand that coming together here is more than just a social gathering. It is the life of Christ. It is trying to imitate Christ. It is trying to build his community. It is trying to serve a greater purpose. You're trying to bring people into this place to save them. You're trying to save people because of what you learn, you grow, you're investing in the lives of people here. Church is so much more. As you begin to know, you begin to see greater things. And I'm sure like Pastor Sugi can see that just coming together here is not just coming together and it's investing in people's lives. It's encouraging one another. It's planting seeds of growth in those around you, that there is more to grow once you really know him and you know him. Someone like me who could be, who's caught in sin. Not to say I'm perfect, I don't fall into sin now, but even back then I could see that the little things. And as I knew him, those things would change. My mind would be shifted. Do you get what I'm saying, guys? And for all of us, for all of the sins, he forgives us. Wow. He forgave us for things that we don't feel worthy for, and he changes us. You won't even recognize people, I believe, who have been changed by the Lord. I have some really great stories of friends I've seen who've like held anger for so long. Like they would just be so angry all the time. But then when God changed them, when they really began to know him and they would allow God for the things that he does in their life, he allows God to move, like, wow. Like I come back, I'm like, whoa, hey, you're different. You're not the same. Have you guys seen that in here? Like you see people, you know them one way, and they're totally different people. That is because they allow God to work and change them. What he has done. We worship him for who he is, the Savior of the world, and we worship him for what he has done. The third point is we worship Jesus for what he will do. You know, I believe that Jesus is the perfect gift, right? We look at Jesus is our hope. What that means to me is that he was a gift. He was the perfect gift for us. Our hope is in him. And now we want to give back a gift to him. So we worship him for who he is, for what he has done, and what he will do. Let's go back to our magi for a second, right? These magi, these high noble people, even possibly kings, they traveled miles and miles. They risked their lives, right? And they did all of this to worship a baby who hasn't even done anything yet. The kid was just born, right? He's just born, and now they come and they worship him. He hasn't done anything yet. Could you imagine doing that? Like, look, a star. Let's go follow it. Let's go worship the baby there the baby hasn't done anything yet. Just a kid. There are some of us today who maybe want to worship him, who want to give our worship to Jesus, unto the Lord. But there are just circumstances in our lives. There are situations that we are in that makes us feel like, I don't want to worship him. I don't want to give myself to him because of what's happening here and now. What I take from the story of the Magi is what they're doing is they're actually worshiping forward in faith. I'm going to say that again. They are worshiping forward in faith. Right? He hasn't done anything yet, but they are worshiping forward for what he will do. They're worshiping forward in faith. Now you may look at me and say, you can't know me. You don't know me. Okay, that's true. I probably don't know all of you, and you probably don't know all of me. But I'm not here to argue your circumstance, my circumstance. We all are in different places, and we all have worked different things. But what I'm trying to convey, and what I'm trying to point as that, I'm really pointing at the Word and what the Word says. And what it is that I do believe that we worship forward in faith, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our situations, regardless of how hopeless it may feel. Pastor Jeffrey, I'm quoting him again. He loves this song. We sang it today, right? That Raise a Hallelujah song. You sing these things. You worship forward in faith. In hopeless situations, you just look, you obey, and He will deliver you. Right? That's what we learned last week. Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. It says, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Whew, that's a deep verse. Where's my, right? Oop, there. Oh, it doesn't show on the screen. Oh, what? Oh, this is pointless. I don't need this. Oh. Oh, okay. Oh, I thought it was a magic trick. This one right here, immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Immeasurably more. Could it be that maybe some of us here in our marriages, it feels like it's just bad all around? That you and your spouse don't get along. That you can't think of how it will be good. Even the best case scenario that you think is good. Now I want to tell you today that right here it says, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. No matter the situation in your marriage, no matter how hard it is, Christ can change that. That He can turn that bad situation to good and so much more. Maybe it's our finances. Maybe we're so deep in debt. Maybe we've made some really bad investments. And we can't see the light forward. We can't see how we can get out of this situation. We can't see the path forward. But let me tell you that there He can do immeasurably more. Maybe it's someone sick in your family. Maybe it's you who's sick. And you feel like, wow, God, I don't know how we're going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. He can change that situation. He can heal you. He can heal your loved one and so much more to a better state than you were before. Because what? As you worship Him for what He will do, He will change those circumstances in your life now. My grandma, I always got to point to my grandma because I love her as an example for this. She's kind of like partially deaf in one ear. I mean, she, you know, grandma's a bit old, but she can't really hear well in, I think it's her one of the ears. I think it's the right ear. So what she always does is she goes, thank you, Jesus, for your healing that is to come. And she believes it wholeheartedly. It's not just here for her. It's in here. It's ingrained in her heart. And I'm still trying to get there. Like, I'm sick. I'm like, thank you, Jesus, for the healing. And I'm like, you know, I'm dying a little bit, but I'm trying, but I'm still trying to work those 18 inches from here to here. I'm saying it, I'm believing it in my mind, and I'm trying to force it into my heart, but I don't think I'm fully there yet. I'm trying to be. But my grandma is a great example. Like, you know, she'll have something and she'll just thank God and she'll worship Him for the goodness and for the healing of her ear that is to come. Like, That's where I aspire to be in my faith of those kind of things. And it's so powerful when you can do that. We worship Him forward in faith. Even if He never does what you hope He will do, you can still worship Him forward in faith because He is still a good God. that he has plans to bless you and prosper you. He has plans to give you hope and a future. You can always worship him forward in faith because he is always good. Do you guys know what that is? Fork. Have you guys ever heard the saying, again, this might be a very American saying, have you ever heard the saying, keep the fork? Well, no. Okay, well, let me explain. So there's this saying called keep the fork. So when I used, in my church back in LA, you know, or even here, we do big potlucks, right? We have like a big gathering. There's like a big table. People are eating. This is very common during like Christmas time and all that kind of stuff. When people come together to eat, you know, and then, you know, the grandmas are cooking all the good food. And then you had like, oh, it was a great dinner. You had the roast beef. You had that, that prime rib. If you're vegetarian, you had that Brussels sprouts, you had that broccoli. No, we're okay here. I'm in the Bay Area, you know. People are vegetarian a lot of times, so I gotta include the vegetables. We are inclusive. So you had the steak, you had the prime rib, you had the so good. I'm watering my mouth a bit. But then they take the plates away and they'll say, keep the fork. You know why they say that? Because the best is yet to come. Woo, woo, woo. That chocolate cake, that brownie a la mode with the ice cream, not clicking, the martabak, the eschampur, you know, like the best is yet to come. The fork doesn't really work because in Indonesian desserts, you use a spoon more, I think, like eschampur, you know, that may not, but in American desserts, you know, like cakes, brownies, you use forks, you don't use a spoon, so it's keep the fork because the best is yet to come. Tell your neighbor the best is yet to come.
The best is yet to come.
I tried to make it relatable, but maybe I gotta include more Indonesian food in there. But the best is yet to come. That tiramisu. Oh, like I know my wife's like huge on martabak and like, yeah. Woo. No, yeah, we got some from her mom. Brought it when she came from Indonesia. I gotta say it was pretty good. Like. Okay, no, it was really good. I'm sorry. It was really good. Like, so there's a place, I don't know if you guys are familiar, Martabak Cafe in LA. If you've ever been there, my house is actually like 2 minutes from there. Like, I'm like just down the street from there. And then you go around the corner and there's Satay House and then there's Java Spice and there's Mary's Chicken. I'm sorry. And there's Bamiyanti and, whew, it's getting hot. But there's a lot of good food. And then I think the martabak there is pretty good, but she's like, no. And then she tried the one from Indonesia. I'm like, oh yeah, this one, yeah, that one's pretty good. But keep the fork because the best, we got dessert after this. The best is yet to come. Some of us here need to worship him for who he is. You need to worship him for what he has done. And you need to hang on to that fork with everything. Because the best is yet to come. And you worship him for what he will do. You're worshiping forward in faith. I'm going to keep saying that until it hits home. Keep the fork. I would love to invite the musicians to come up as we're nearing conclusion. You remember the question I asked you in the beginning? I asked you a lot of questions. But you remember the one question is, what is the one gift that Jesus desires from all of us that only we can give? Right? You had to think about that for a second, but the answer was our worship. As you look back over what we talked today, we can understand that this Christmas story is a story of hope. That he is the perfect gift for us. There is no better gift. And we're in this season because we want to give a gift back to him. We need to figure out what that was. And that is our worship. Before I read you the final verse, I would love to read this. In view of who Christ is, what he has done, and what he will do, I bring him a gift. And I, say that, and I am that gift. Whew. You are the gift. You are all that Jesus desires. You are all that he wants in this season. Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. It tells you right there. It tells you what you have to give Him. You give Him yourself as a living sacrifice. He wants all of you. I'm not here to say that we shouldn't give presents to those around us. We shouldn't, you know, rejoice, have the Christmas tree up. We shouldn't spend time with the family. I truly believe we should do that. This is the season for that. And I am not taking anything away from that. I am merely trying to repaint parts of it so that where is your main focus? Is it in getting to the mall, buying that best gift for Johnny who won't appreciate it, won't remember you gave it to him? Or is it for giving your best gift to the one who was the perfect gift for us? Is it for focusing and giving ourselves, our entirety, our worship, all of us laying flat on that floor to worship the King of the Jews, the King of Kings, Jesus? Those are the words I would love to leave with you today. Would you bow your heads with me? Jesus, 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 you are worthy of it all. You are all we could ever ask for. You are our everlasting hope in time of need. You are the absolutely best gift that we could ever receive. The salvation that you give us, the price that you paid. Now, what do we want to give to you? We want to give ourselves to you. We want to give all we are, who we are, our entirety, our worship unto you. Even in the times we're spending time with our family, having a joyous, merry time, giving the gifts to those you love, let us remember that it's all because of Jesus. Let us remember that He was the first and perfect gift, and we want to just give back unto Him. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for knowing that you are still working in us, even if our situation isn't as what we wanted, that we will worship you forward in faith and know that you will work in us to completion, for you are good. Thank you, Jesus.